just freaking, I'm just rambling in the microphone, random things. Because it's the freaking lunar eclipse, kid. Things are going freaking Joe Holt.
Isn't that what you normally do? Just ramble about things and talk random about things.
And just random thoughts.
Hey, they're recording you now. What's up?
How'd you out in LA? 2 week hiatus. Yeah, I just, you know, I'm getting busy coaching my team. That's awful. The worst, got to be the worst team.
Do you want to elaborate on your high school football coaching experience?
No, right now? Well, I've been doing this shit for a long time now, but no. Yes, I will elaborate a little bit as far as lost again, 0-5. We've been outscored in the first quarter of games. In the last five games, we've been outscored in the first quarter like 150-something. In the first quarter, 150-something to 14.
Nowhere to go but up?
Nowhere to go but up. And that's why I'm thinking about nobody listens to the show. I don't bring the show to the team. I would never do that. And, well, if it happens, it happens. But no disrespect. You have to be loyal to the head coach. And I like the guy, so I'm not going to say anything negative. However,
I feel like this is getting
out. However, but he's probably going to leave at the end of the year one way or the other. And I think I'm going to be the head coach. I think I can be the head coach because I know the AD well. And if I will lobby for that position, and I think I'm going to be the offensive and defensive coordinator next year. And if you move out to Rancho Cucamonga, like you said, you can come and be.
I didn't say that.
And you can come out and be the cheerleading coach.
Thanks.
What would you do? What would you do? Just be a statistician?
Is that slightly discriminatory?
Film guy.
Good.
Film guy.
Hey, I don't cheat. I don't hang out with your film guy, dude. How are those Patriots? Their start to the year couldn't be any better than it.
Couldn't be any better. Well, thank you for asking, Joe Holt. Might as well get to brass tacks and me rambling about whatever it is I'm ranting about. Could not be a better freaking opening for any Tom Brady fan, for any Patriot fan, for any fan of justice for that matter. It could not be any better opening because since these quote unquote balls may have been deflated, and I'm so sick of getting my blood pressure worked up for this. It's taken years off my life.
Calm down.
I know. You did it, though. No, it's cool. Since the deflating happened, dude, his like last three games, and including the Super Bowl and in the second half of the AFC Championship, he's like the best quarterback rating of all time. So for people to think that actually that they may have taken air out of balls, there was actually a real thing, he's shutting the fucking everybody up right now. And they're on a bye week next week.
Somebody very wise to me once said, do you know the difference between a criminal and a civilian?
Criminals get caught.
That's exactly right.
Of course. I think you might have told that story the last time you were on here eight weeks ago. That's how much legs this story has. Isn't it just mind-boggling that it's gone as far as it's gone? And then the clown shoes, I don't even know the guy with Boomer Esiason said that he had it on good authority. So many lies have been, this story has been so twisted. It's such a good example of how media can just explode. The guy's saying he has on good authority. The NFL thoroughly believes that Tom Brady will be suspended this year.
Yeah, I think a lot of this stuff is kind of contrived by the NFL a little bit. Or like brought on and drug out. Like I feel like whatever level of problem you want to call Deflategate or some of these other like off-season soap operas that kind of plague the NFL.
$25,000 fine, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think they're important to a point. And then they're dragged on by the NFL and their publicity machine. And I don't know, this is a football show, so we're going to keep it there. But that's honestly why I'm a baseball fan.
Well, you and your baseball fans, you think you guys are so, the sanctity of the game. That's the way the game is played. The unwritten rules of the game.
Yeah, there's a way to act, bro.
Quit it is a way to act. How about John Papelbon and Bryce Harper freaking going at each other today? That was awesome.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen on my team, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah? You'd freaking roll over there and freaking put the smackdown on him?
No, I mean, if we really want to talk about that.
Like, all right, go quick. Why wouldn't
Jonathan Papelbon wouldn't be on my team. I mean, the Washington Nationals had a really successful closer in Drew Storen, who made the All-Star team and was awesome. And, you know, they were in the middle of a pennant race with the Mets, and they demoted their successful closer mid-season ended up with a guy that wanted to go get in a physical altercation with the franchise player. And Drew Storen's sitting on the disabled list for being pissed off with a broken hand. So,
baseball.
Short story long, what I'm trying to tell you is no, there's no way in hell Jonathan Papelbon would be on my team. But
World
anyway,
Series winner.
Carry
World
on.
Series winner. Would you hire Lane Kiffin to be your offensive coordinator? That's what I think.
To be an offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you like Lane Kiffin as a play caller?
Yeah.
Is there any assistant coach in the history of the world, although he has been a head coach, so I guess it's a little bit different, that has gotten more stuff said about him than Lane Kiffin? He, for some reason, he's a polarizing, but no, actually, there's no real Lane Kiffin defenders out there. So I, you know, by nature, I'm kind of an antagonist. What is the deal with all these rumors that hit the internet about Lane Kiffin? It's got to be some truth.
What's going on the rumors? I don't know. I don't follow football rumors.
Really?
What's going on?
You have no...
No, I have no idea what's going on.
Wait a minute. I brought you on my football show, and you're going to sit here and say that you don't follow football? I might as well go
out. Not the rumors.
I mean, well...
What's going on with Lane Kiffin?
I thought you were some kind of social media guy.
Enlighten me. What's going on with Lane Kiffin?
There's rumors in Tuscaloosa that he has been unfaithful to his smoking hot wife. Have you seen Lane Kiffin's wife?
No.
Oh, star quality.
I'm not with the soap opera shit and all this.
Star quality.
I'm not good at that.
Well,
okay, so his wife's paying.
Well, his wife is freaking smoking hot. Second of all, he supposedly was banning a booster, but another rumor that he was banning Nick Saban's daughter.
Oh, wow.
Who's like 20-ish. Yeah. And there's all types of things. In Alabama, this week is the first time in...
Didn't they lose to Mississippi this week?
Yeah, 72 weeks is the first time in well over 70 games in like 8 years that they're an underdog this week against Georgia, at Georgia. They're dogs.
Huh.
College football has just gone topsy-turvy. I can't figure anything out. What I thought was right and is now wrong. Cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria.
Keep Coach O, folks. That's all I got for you. Keep Coach O.
Keep Coach O what?
Ed Orgeron. I don't know. I don't like what's going on at USC right now.
Should have kept Ed Orgeron at USC.
Should have.
He was the interim coach and they should have kept him.
Yes, sir.
I believe that. Why?
Why do they keep Coach O? Number one, he, like, first and foremost, the kids respected the guy and they listened to him. So first and foremost there. Secondarily, I think he's probably one of the most talented people in the profession when it comes to recruiting high school athletes. And you know, that's obviously a...
9/10 of the battle?
What's the word? A morally questionable profession, to say the least, of being a high school football recruiter these days. In the state of the NCAA.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was obviously some penalties during that period of time. And he, even through all that, he managed to really make sure that USC was really talented. He you know, kept that team loaded through a long time. The kids really responded to him. You look at LSU, he got a new job over there, and the kids that he brought in, and that, what's his name, the Forsett kid, I believe?
Leonard Forsett?
Yeah.
Fournette. Leonard Fournette, I believe, is the way. Dude, man amongst boys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it didn't take him long to find one of those and find a new home.
Actually, let's get back to Leonard Fournette and stop you at Orgeron jerk-off session. Leonard Fournette was like the consensus number one player for like 3 years. He was kind of a LeBron James, if you will, of high school. There was a petition when he was a 12-year-old kid. There was a petition when he played Pop Warner that parents started that wouldn't let him play, even though he was the same age as everyone else, because he was that dominant. And he's only he's a true sophomore. So he's got, I have a affinity for these guys that are hailed as a next great thing and actually produce as a next great thing.
Right.
And it seems to be the Heisman Trophy is his to lose at this point. I mean, every week he seems like he's getting 200 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I mean, Heisman 3 weeks in, sure. Like, I'll give you that. What's the kid's name from TCU that put up like 500 all-purpose yards?
Boykins?
Yeah.
Did you see the end of that game yesterday, the TCU-Texas Tech game?
What happened? Enlighten me.
A little bit of freaking preparation. It was a shootout and just a
field
fluke.
Goal, right?
And no, just a fluke play. Ended it. Well, didn't end it. A fluke ball got hit up in the air. Guy caught it for touchdown, put TCU up, who are national championship contenders. Texas Tech got the ball back, and then on Pat Mahomes, you know, Pat Mahomes, the old pitcher for the Twins and the, I don't know why I'm pointing at you like you're Pat Mahomes.
I'm right.
Yeah, your boy, Pat Mahomes. Anyways, Pat Mahomes, a second, ran around, should have been sacked three times, threw it, ended up doing like a Cal Stanford thing, but he got tackled at the five.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was one of those games on a Saturday afternoon, you're sitting around watching, you know, college football, and you're like, anybody else just see that?
I watched Barry Zito versus Tim Hudson. I'm just anticlimactic.
Oh, why would you watch that?
History.
Oh, you're a giant guy. I get it. Nostalgia, it's a very powerful emotion.
It is.
Both of them got rocked, though, didn't they?
Yes.
Even though I try not to watch baseball anymore, I still did hear that. I can't help getting all these god darn rumors on my freaking Bleacher Report shit.
That's why I don't have Bleacher Report.
What do you do? What do you do for news?
ESPN, Twitter.
Mm-mm. I refuse to bring and get on top of the evil empire. Obviously, you haven't listened to the show. And they laying off 300 people, which is amazing to me that they have 300 people that they can actually lay off.
They got rid of Bill Simmons, dude.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to eat the crow for that.
Yeah, well, as far as that sport, you know, that type of world, well, this type of world shit goes, Simmons is, I got mixed emotions on Simmons. I do respect the guy.
Boston.
Yeah, sort of. He's prep school Connecticut, actually. He's a freaking child of privilege. He's not a real, but he's a New Englander. I'll give him that. But he spent a lot of his formative years in Connecticut, which I discount as actually a Bostonian because a lot of Connecticut people are Giants fans. I digress. Guy's still a pioneer in this type of thing.
He's a Patriots fan.
Yeah, right. He's a huge Celtic fan, so what the hell?
Jeez, they're going to have a good year.
We're talking about. It's a football show, for Christ's sake, Joe.
What do you want to talk about? I want to talk about the AFC East.
I would like to talk about the AFC.
New England started well. We talked about New
England. I would like to talk about the AFC East. Thank you very much, Joe Holt.
Can we talk about the Buffalo Bills?
My own program. What about them? And I didn't do the show last week. So, yes, I would like to talk about the New England Patriots dismantling of the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Bills taunting the Patriots like this is the fucking Super Bowl and taking out billboards about deflating footballs, classless. Talk about, and that's the thing about Brady. One of the things about Brady, don't roll your eyes at me. None of my program, Joe Holt. You roll your wheels over, fucking you and your eyes rolling, your wheels rolling.
This guy. What about Tom Brady?
I don't know, man. I'm losing it. It's past my bedtime. It's a lunar eclipse.
What the hell? No, but, so, I don't know. I did a show on my network, just kind of over-unders. You can check it out at superiorfandom.com.
Oh, you shameless whore.
One of the overs that I picked in terms of NFL wins for the year was the Buffalo Bills. And yes, they did get beat by the Patriots by, what was it, I think 8 points. They're getting their ass kicked. They came back, but made a game of it. They
a little beat, closer than it was, but
they,
yeah.
They beat Miami this week. And then they beat Indianapolis, who came through this week, got their first win. So anyway, 2-1, I think they've performed really well. Made some cool, acquisitions in the offseason. LeSean McCoy bringing Tyrod Taylor to play quarterback.
Bills are talented, and they're still without...
Jordan Cameron as well, tight end, another weapon.
Sure, Bills are talented.
And they had a really solid defense last year. I remember a game toward the end of last season where they shut down Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers pretty handily. And I think they just kind of added that and a defensive-minded coach in Rex Ryan. And I just kind of want to get your thoughts on... not just the Bills, but the AFC East in general. I know the Jets have made some really timely acquisitions as well. Seem to be improved from last year. The Dolphins, not so much. But the Patriots have started well. What are your thoughts on the AFC East?
You never listen to the show, do you, Joe Holt?
No.
I think I might have done an hour episode of the AFC East. Went as far as saying that I thought there was the best division in football, finally, in the sisters of the poor division. Defensively, I thought all the Dolphins have been the real quagmire of the whole situation.
Quagmire.
How bad they've been the last 2 weeks. The Bills are good. Bills have talent up and down the board.
You think they make the playoffs?
Yeah. I do think the Bills make the playoffs. Sure. I think the Bills go 11-5, 10-6 with two losses to New England.
Solid.
Already won. It's amazing, though, that, and I'll say it, whatever, we're the fucking masshole New England fan. The Patriots look by far the class, at least the AFC. Pittsburgh was the only other team that scared me. Although, is it wrong of
me? Ben got hurt.
Yeah, but he's going to be back in a month, 4-6 weeks. Probably a vacation for him. Probably not vacation, but you
think
know.
He's going to go back up to Tahoe again?
You know.
See what I did there?
Harumph, harumph. I think Roethlisberger, this is probably good for him. It's good for his arm. You know what I mean? Pittsburgh is scary. Denver's scary, as much as I don't want to say it. Actually got a chance to watch the whole Sunday night game. They're not scary like we're going to beat you 45-14. We're scary. We're going to beat you 24-14. And we're going to play great defense because they fly on defense. That's what scares me.
As a football coach, you know, let me ask you this, though. Teams that win in the margins typically don't have a lot of room for error.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of turnover on that Denver coaching staff. This year they got rid of Fox, the defense coordinators elsewhere. Do you think that new coaching staff is going to be able to maintain the level of discipline necessary that it's going to take to win a close game against the upper echelon team like the Patriots or even really within the division? Because the teams like the Raiders and the Chargers and the Chiefs have all gotten, I think, measurably better from where they were last year.
It's a good division. That's probably, the AFC West is probably the best division in football now that I actually reassess it.
And we're going to talk about the Raiders after this too, by the way, so carry on.
Why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
I think you threw out the word discipline. I think that's overrated. I think, you know, if you're making the NFL, you're disciplined enough to be able to get to that level. So I think that's overrated. I think Wade Phillips is a really good coach. For what he does, I think he has a clear philosophy, and I think they've gotten some players to follow in that philosophy. I think Denver's a legitimate threat. And, you know, people love to the whole Peyton Manning article, and now it's like they've forced me to actually somewhat pull for Peyton because he and I are the same age, and they make him sound like a fucking fossil. And like, oh, he can't even take off his shoes. Dude, that shit's hot in general.
I have a hard time taking off my shoes.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I do as well.
I'm 29, though.
It's true as well. But
not getting any easier.
But,
sorry,
any other fucking one-liners, kid? My point is, Peyton can be effective enough to win games running the football with a good defense. And Manziel, it always comes back to giant football. I wish I had the soundboard.
Why does it?
He
looked really good holding the clipboard today, by the way.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good move by the Browns because I don't think the Browns are going to be good, and I think they know that. They drop a game to the Raiders, and if every game Manziel
first
loses,
road win on the Eastern Time Conference since 2009.
First
Oakland Raiders today in Cleveland.
2009, not that long ago. I was actually, bring back the 2009 year as a starting point. How about Oregon not being ranked for the first time since 2009? That was the point I was trying to get at about recruiting when you went on your Ed O jerk-off fest when fucking you, oh, Ed O, Ed O, over your fucking
how'd
chin.
That go again?
All over your chin.
Ropes.
I thought Oregon had just locked down recruiting for the last 7 or 8 years. Apparently, that's not true. And if I'm shocked to see that they weren't ranked in 2009. I feel like this Oregon era has been at least 7 or 8 years. Usually, I'm shocked, but like things are like, well, shit, that was 2002.
No, I think Oregon really kind of is going through the very much a similar process of like USC where they, you know.
Yeah, but USC went on probation, so that there's some tolerance there.
I don't think that USC players during the probation period were necessarily like
bad
players. I think they were really, really good players. And if you look at what these guys like, hell, like Malcolm Smith, or no, sorry, I went on a wrong tangent. when you look at some of these guys during the probation period of USC, they produced like some good players. Like you look back to like guys like Nelson Aguilar, like they're in the league. They've got a lot of defensive players in the league now.
Sure, Marquise Lee,
Robert Woods still playing, being really good. A lot of other guys too during the probation period.
Leonard Williams.
And I think it was just a matter of like the depth necessary to be a contender in the Pac-12 that runs an up-tempo game where you need bodies. Like, if you go back to USC in the heydays of the early 2000s, those teams were, like, 2 and 3 strings deep. Like, I remember Brian Cushing was, like, the second string defensive end, and then he went to Houston and ended up being, you know, an all-pro player. And I think what USC is going through now is, like, and Oregon, too, is they've kind of lost Chip Kelly and the root of, like, the recruiting and the root of that stability within their program that recycles that talent.
But here's the deal. Chip Kelly was only there for, like, 4 years?
Was he not?
The offensive coordinator before that? Yeah, for, like, a year or two.
And then Delaware before that, right?
No, New Hampshire.
That's what
he's
it
a New Hampshire
I beg
boy.
Your pardon.
Yeah, well, there's a big close difference. Yeah, no, it's not close enough. But you know, your West Coast ignorance is does not. It's not the first.
They're
time.
Like that not, far away on the map. Are we getting that on the video? They're that far away on the map.
This is about the size of your car, kid. No, they're
what are you
much
trying
like,
to say?
You try driving in Delaware and New Hampshire in a day. It's probably like 10 hours. Anyway, no, I just thought that Oregon had locked it down. With their uniform gimmick, with their fancy locker room gimmick, and Oregon was the it school. It's surprising to me that they're out of the top 25 and getting blown out by Utah.
Utah's good, though. No, Utah's good, though.
Utah's always been good.
They were a top 15 program last year, and a lot of those guys came back.
Utah's been solid for a number of
years. Utah could represent the Pac-12. South in the championship and contend for a Rose Bowl.
The Pac-12 softness has just leaked its ugly head. They're just soft teams and Pac-12 stinks. I don't care what anyone says. You can roll your eyes all you want, but
compared to what?
The Big 12, the Big 10 even.
Big 10?
Yeah, I know. Everyone loves to shit in the Big 10 out here, but I think the Big 10, especially the Big 10, Michigan is all of a sudden a player again. Michigan just rolled BYU 31-0, kid. That's not that's a statement. Ohio State's the best team in the nation, defending national champs in the number one consensus. Wisconsin, I shouldn't say Wisconsin.
Do you think that the
Big
quarterback
12,
there, Cardell, what's his name?
Jones?
At Ohio State?
I think he's great. I think JT Barrett's great. I think Braxton Miller's great.
I think they have a quarterback problem at Ohio State. No. I don't think either one of those guys are going to end up being. Like, I think if one of those guys ends up being the starting quarterback all year, I don't think they end up making the final. Or the playoff or whatever the hell.
I think they're going to be in the playoff. You know, I just think the schedule's too easy. Maybe because the Big Ten's been, even though I just argued that the Big Ten was great, maybe the Big Ten wasn't that good because I think the schedule's too easy going forward. You know, who do they got left that's any good? Michigan? And Michigan just, you know, reared their head. And
I also have a really hard time saying Jim Harbaugh's good at anything. I don't really like Jim Harbaugh.
You don't like Jim Harbaugh?
No.
Well, you're a 49er hater. And speaking of which, I'm a quasi 49er hater, closet wise.
Don't talk about anything from San Francisco in the closet, buddy. It's not a good look for the show.
This is why I pay you the big bucks, Joe Holt, for those right spot on gay jokes about San Francisco. No, they got blown out today by Arizona, and I'm not a big Arizona guy. I think they're a talented team, and you know they love the Joe Bucks of the world love to, you know, get all hot and bothered about Bruce Arians, but Arizona man looked bad. Kaepernick looked bad today. And you had players from Arizona saying that San Francisco schemes were too simple. I thought that was an interesting statement. One of them said it. Someone said it. I think it might have been Tyrone Matthews said the plays were too easy to read.
And honey badger.
And they could read. And, you know, how many articles did you read all summer about Kaepernick is fixed his throwing motion, and now he's the perfect quarterback.
Makes you wonder why they didn't keep Alex Smith.
Makes you wonder. Kaepernick was a freaking, he's a tremendous athlete, and he was cheap.
They gave him an extension, though, no?
Huh?
They gave him an extension. Like, he got paid, Cap.
No? Yeah, no, he did. He got a massive contract, but it's one of those contracts that looks...
You might as well wrote it on a beer napkin.
Yeah, it looks good, but then when you actually... A lot of these NFL contracts, these guys are mercenaries, and we're not getting paid.
It's baseball, bro. Keep at it.
What? That's one of the reasons you like baseball is because those guys get paid obscene amounts of money for not doing, for playing a boring game.
That, and they're just protected, too. Yeah.
Protected as far as, yeah, if they get released, the contracts are guaranteed.
Yeah, you're just protected.
I would agree with you as a union man. And, you know, well, one of the things that people, baseball is funny that way because it's free market in a certain extent. Now we're going economics, but what the fuck? That's what I do, kind of. I mean, I'm actually a PE teacher, but I... Yeah. Anyway.
You dunk on 7-year-olds for a living. That's what you told me earlier.
I dunk on 7-year-olds for a living. I practice free throws from like 8:30 till 10:30 every morning. For two hours, I get paid like $60,000 a year to freaking work on free throws. Anyway, owners can pay the players whatever they want. I'm for that. That's free market enterprise. However, the players' union has protections then. Hey, if you're going to say you're going to pay me this contract, you pay me this fucking contract.
Yeah, it's called guaranteed money.
Right, right. So there's that protection from a union standpoint, and there's the spending from an owner standpoint, and I agree with you. And you do see parity in baseball, even though there would be people that would say otherwise, because L.A. and New York, well, when you look at the playoffs now, it's L.A., New York, Chicago.
I don't know. There's Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Houston. Like, there's teams.
Exactly.
You could do it.
Right. There's Pittsburgh. There's Houston. There's...
Kansas City.
Kansas City. So there are...
Houston.
There are certain... How many times are you going to say Houston?
Texas.
Houston.
Well, Texas, big market.
Well, Houston's a big market, too. Houston's like the biggest, second, like the third biggest city in the U.S., I think. I think it's Houston.
Not media market. Before, like, they had a little issue last year in Houston where the games weren't even on TV. They had some real shit going on.
Yeah, but they've been the most profitable franchise in the history of Major League Baseball 2 years in a row.
Houston Astros.
Look that up. Put that in your fucking superior fandom and smoke it.
I will.
All right? It's true. Houston Astros is the most profitable team.
You might get quoted there, sir.
In the last 2 years because it was a youth movement. As a matter of fact, a school I coach at right now, Gary High School, Vincent Velasquez, one of the pitchers for the Houston Astros. He's a Gary alumni. He was drafted in 2012, skyrocketed through the minor. You know how hot it is? That's going to be one of the hottest positions and the hottest things to do in professional sports is to make it as a pitcher in the major leagues.
SuperiorFandom.com.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
You're just freaking yelling that out?
Yeah.
Speaking of pitching, I went to the LA County Fair last night and dominated the breaking plates with baseball fucking.
Did you win a prize?
Yeah, like a big Pokemon type thing about the size of your fucking wheelchair that I ever had to carry around for the whole time. And then I just ended up giving it to a kid. But, you know, I put it up my shoulders like it was my kid, you know. Oh, the Pokemon. I won this. You know what I mean? But that, talk about.
That's good radio.
Perfect for my skills. Throwing baseballs at plates. You know what I mean? It's like perfect for me. You know, get to break something, and you know all those years I fucking spent throwing a ball around, finally got to impress my lady friend. You know what I mean?
You didn't even give the stuffed animal to the lady friend?
No, of course I did. And then she ended up giving it to a toddler. But that's beside the point. I was smashing those fucking plates, kid. I could have done it left-handed too. It was like ping, 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 ping.
Well, Coach Dave, I'm glad you had an awesome weekend.
This is a football show. We were actually winning in a halftime this week, so I was, it was almost a good weekend, but it's a good weekend as far as NFL goes. I'm trying to segue back into football. What does it matter? What does anything matter?
You want to talk about the Raiders now?
I don't even remember. Fine.
Talk about your fucking Raiders.
Why?
I think they might be good. I feel like...
Wow, what a hot take.
No, I don't think they are all the way good. I think they could be good. Yeah. I'm a little bit worried about the defense, but what I like about the defense is in particular their linebacking core. First of all, they're coached by Jack Del Rio and Ken Norton.
SC guy.
Yeah.
Coming back.
SC coach. Also, Ken Norton coached SC for some years under Carroll, and I think Kiffin also. But I think they're really well coached on defense. I think they're getting better than, you know, the acquisitions of Malcolm Smith and Mack are, you know, starting to show their dividends. That they got to the quarterback today for the first time in Cleveland a little bit. And, you know, David Carr and some of those guys, he's finally got some weapons.
Sure,
you know?
Mari Cooper. They are a 500 team. They're a 500 team that's going to probably come to L.A. If they come to L.A., are you going to go?
Hell yeah.
Are you going to be a Raider fan? Are we getting this on? We're getting on zeros and ones right now, recorded. Yeah. You're going to become a Raider fan.
Yeah.
We're going to throw some spikes in your
I don't know. Like, you say becoming a Raider fan because I've stayed quiet, but, like, 2007, 2008, before I moved to Los Angeles, I had season tickets to the Raiders.
Mm.
And then Tom Cable and Lane Kiffin era.
Oh, I didn't realize you were that hot.
Yeah, I had season tickets to the Raiders for a while.
Did you have spikes on the side of your chair?
No.
You need to do that. If they come to L.A., we're doing that. We're going to Road Warrior style that shit.
If you buy me tickets in the black hole, I'll do it.
All right. Well, I don't know about that. I'm a cheap prick, but they're coming. Have you seen the latest proposal for the Carson Stadium?
I don't know if I've seen the latest proposal, but I've seen proposals of, like, the shared facility.
With the Lombardi Trophy?
Yeah. Is that what they're talking about?
Have you seen that thing?
Are they talking about the shared facility with San Diego? Is that what we're talking about right now?
San Diego?
Yeah, I've seen some of those rumors.
And there's a revised one they just put out the other day. And it's got a huge Lombardi Trophy on this, like, patio where you can overlook and watch the games and sip tea and watch the Raider game. Yes.
In Carson. They're going to have sip tea and watch the Raider game in Carson.
How far away is that from here, driving?
Like 45 minutes.
Is it that far away?
Yeah.
It's half hour. Everything's a half hour, 45 minutes. I say that. But it's close.
Yeah.
It's relatively close.
Close enough.
Raiders Chargers. What a stink bomb the Chargers threw out today. Did you watch that game?
I saw part of it. I didn't watch it. I showed up to a multi-screen viewing facility by 12:30. And I don't know, it was probably closer to noon, really. And I think it was like 31-7 when I turned that one on.
They got rolled by Minnesota.
I feel like Teddy Bridgewater might be good.
Oh, you never listen to the show, do you, Joe?
No.
Teddy Bridgewater is good. He's solid, and they got the best running back in football. And
he scored his first touchdown in a couple seasons today.
And he scored two of them. And he's just one of those guys.
What did he run for, like 120 today?
Yeah, like 20 carries. He still doesn't get enough carries. I have no idea why he doesn't get at least 25 carries every game. 20 carries I can live with, but a lot of times you watch Vikings games over the years, and it's just, Adrian Peterson, 5 carries in the first half. You know what I mean?
What's your take on the NFC North? I mean, you know, you got Green Bay, obviously, perennial favorite. I don't know how I feel about them, especially with Jordy Nelson out. And they always seem to I feel like teams can always score on Green Bay. You know, is that wrong to think that? I think the Bears are down a little bit.
A little bit. You see that stink show they threw up there today, too? Shut out. Speaking of these young...
Yeah, and they don't have Jay Cutler for a while, right?
Yeah, like Jay Cutler's in the answer. Jimmy Clausen. I coached high school football against Jimmy Clausen. I was a defensive coordinator. Jimmy Clausen was at Oaks Christian. I coached against him, and, you know, he was great. And then I was convinced he was going to be good. And he's hung around, but it was awful today. But the offensive coordinator for the Bears is Adam Gase, who is, like, the hot name 2 years ago. I can't expect you to remember 2 off seasons ago. You can't even remember, you know, my last show.
I didn't remember. I just didn't listen for it.
Oh, okay, that's the difference.
I actually remembered not to listen.
Anyhow, that guy was supposed to be the next fucking young hot thing. He's be the next de facto head coach because he had Peyton Manning in Denver, and Peyton Manning, they were doing well. 10 punts today. This is the worst. I've watched 6 games at one time. This bar I go to now that, you know, right across the street from my lady friend's house. It's got six TVs, right? So you get to watch all the games, and you see a bunch of black dudes running around just yelling, let's go, every 2 minutes, especially the fucking Cowboys fans. Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
Wow.
Isn't that what... And that's just like that phrase, let's go, has just become the phrase for sports. It's all people just yell. Everybody yells, let's go.
Just...
Vamanos.
Watch baseball, bro.
Bro. We don't do that shit in baseball, man. We're too sophisticated for yo. Let's go in baseball. We do the wave.
No, we don't do the wave.
We do the wave. We sit there for 4 hours, friggin' eating Cracker Jack, waiting for a sacrifice. Oh, nice sacrifice! Yes.
Clap, clap.
Well done. Well done. Sacrifice.
Let's go.
It's the first shit. Let's go. It's the first year in how long since the Giants have been in the playoffs?
They don't make it every other year. Like,
oh, really? It's just, yeah. And when they make it, they win?
Yeah.
They win the whole thing? Speaking of winning, let's get back to football, please. Indy almost had the fuck. They were this close to having the dagger put in their heart, and Andrew Luck just kind of forced his hand off.
Real quick, though, is there another team in the NFC North? Besides the Green Bay that can win?
Well, Minnesota seems like they're okay.
Can they take that division?
No, I just think Aaron Rodgers is too good. You know, as much as I juggle Tom Brady's nuts, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, maybe the best quarterback of all time in some way. And Brady, I don't know, you know, I don't want to backtrack, but Aaron Rodgers is amazing. So how about that? Let's leave it at that. The guy, you can't tackle the fucking guy. And he really can release the ball, just like flick his wrist. And so they're always going to be a factor. Can Minnesota beat them? Certainly. You never know what's going to happen.
By the way, just because I came from there and I'm going to talk about it for a second, Northern California quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck. Hell yeah. Killing it. Go. Next.
What about Tom Brady again?
Yeah, another NorCal kid.
Yeah, just another, you know.
Yeah,
people have bowed down to Andrew Luck way too quickly. Okay, he put up a couple fantasy numbers last season. He had a really good fantasy season.
Hell of a
season.
Comeback too against Kansas City. Was that last playoffs or the playoffs before?
Yeah, well, I don't know, last playoffs, but it didn't get him anywhere. And they have looked very pedestrian. Not that it's all his fault. They were so close to just dying. You go 0-3 in the NFL start season, you're not making the playoffs. You go 0-2. And your chances are very, you know, they throw out all types of Phil Simms and Ian Eagle and bring, and they, you know, Solomon Wilcox, like to throw all that stats out there all the time.
Solomon Wilcox.
You know, if you go 0-2 to start a season, how bad you're going to be. But you go 0-3, that's like the death knell, which is nice for Baltimore when is now 0-3.
First time in franchise history, I believe, right?
Yeah, somebody was watching the challenge before we came over.
Hey, hey, hey.
I would like to see him. Philly. It's amazing, Philadelphia, the whole Philadelphia saga. I didn't do the show last week, so it's, you know, and a week in the NFL feels like an eternity, but how bad have the Eagles looked?
And they won today, though.
Yeah, they did win today.
They tried to give it away.
Against a Jets team that's really kind of inept offensively, and they got the Eagles got a punt return from Darren Sproles, who's awesome, by the way. And I don't know why.
Still.
I don't know why they spent all this money on DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews when they had Darren Sproles back.
Yeah, especially
down.
Ryan Matthews. Like, what?
Yeah. Talk about piling on, you know? They could have rolled out with Darren Sproles and went out and tried to get Danny Woodhead or something and would have been equally as effective as bringing in all this money on DeMarco Murray. But the whole Chip Kelly thing, he's a polarizing guy. People like to hate him. It's amazing that what he did in Oregon, getting back to Oregon, this is kind of what I was getting at early until you started talking about fucking baseball and Madison fucking Bumgarner and shit.
I didn't talk about Bum at all.
Well, Barry Zito. Anyway, Philly, you know, Chip Kelly was supposed to be this revolutionary figure coming to the NFL. They look just like everybody else now. You watch the game, talk about just crabs in a barrel type effect, how Philly has just... They're not doing the things that they did in Oregon where they were running up and like, boom, on the ball. Boom, on the ball, run a play, run a play. The pace is just, it's the same pace that everybody else is running. I don't get What the fuck? What's going on, Chip Kelly? Why don't you be... You don't even really call the plays, I don't think.
Do you think the players, like... And for that matter, the coaches, like, I don't know that much about how that staff is structured, but do you think the players and coaches listen to Chip Kelly the way the head coach should be listened to? Listen to somebody like a guy like Pete Carroll, I think, would get listened to.
Well, yeah. Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I've heard there's you know, stuff floating around that Philadelphia that you know, wasn't necessarily, like... They kicked Deshaun Jackson off that team. Like, how are you going to just, like, all that Riley Cooper stuff, like, you know, it's happened a couple other times, too. Like, I don't think he has that team all the way. Like, and I don't know, like, you know, we mentioned the Jets bringing in maybe, like, the wrong kind of talent or whatever. And, like, I don't know if the Eagles really could have afforded to just get rid of LeSean McCoy like they did. You know what I mean? Like,
they traded him for an elite linebacker. The thing is with Kiko Alonso, he always gets hurt. But Kiko Alonso was fucking good.
No, and that's fine. But, like, if you're going to get rid of a guy like LeSean McCoy on the Eagles and run, like, a high-paced, high-powered offense, don't you have to be able to replace that kind of... I just don't think they did that.
You don't think DeMarco Murray and I think Ryan Matthews and DeMarco Murray are equally as talented as LeSean McCoy. What has McCoy really done in Buffalo yet? Has he been all right? I guess he has. I'm pretty.
I mean, he puts it in the end zone.
I like LeSean McCoy. I like running backs. I'm more of a running back guy than, you know, quarterback guy. I think you win. I that's why it's been one of the running themes of my show, which you have obviously never listened to, is why teams don't put two quality running backs on the field at the same time. They only put one. And if they do put two running backs in the field, it's usually a guy who's, like, built like fucking, you know, Jason Veritek and can't fucking, can run. You know what I mean? Ah, baseball for you. That made you giggle, Joe. But baseball bullshit back in. I'm freaking FanDueling these days, kid. I'm FanDueling.
How you doing?
Nah, I've lost $20 in the last... 48 hours.
Jesus.
Not that. Come on.
No, I'm just messing around.
It's been more money. You see, they put these commercials down your throat. There's got to be false advertising.
Hey, I don't know. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm about to win my fantasy baseball league. Pretty excited about that.
The only thing worse than talking about baseball, talking about fake baseball. All right. Would you like to talk about your fantasy baseball team, Joe?
No, I just wanted to say I was about to win.
Yeah. How much was the payout?
It's a $500 gross pot, like $50 times 10. Not that much money. Like,
$50? You spent the last 6 months of your life fucking worrying about your fantasy baseball team, and you're going to win $50 fucking bucks?
No, I bought in for 50. I'll probably win, I don't know, whatever, $200, $300 somewhere in there, like, which is not that much anyways.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But like, I mean,
$50.
When you break it down to, like, the hours I've spent, it's definitely going to be, like, the hardest $300 I've ever made.
Fantasy baseball is like a relationship. You know what I mean? It's like you're really buying in for better or for worse. You have to, that's why I like the FanDuel one night.
And that bitch will talk back to you, too.
One night. You know, you're in a real relationship. But FanDuel is like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I'm out. Fine. $10. Ooh, sorry I lost, but I had a chance to win. I see that commercial. There's no way that's true. I want to see somebody look into this. It's like, I started out with $30 in my account and I won $2 million on FanDuel. No fucking way. No way. $2 million? Really? You know? That's why I play. That's why I still like to play. I'm like, oh, shit. Just, you know, it's like fucking throwing shit in the wall, see what sticks.
Do you buy lotto tickets, too?
No, I don't, but I should. Hey, you know what they say? There's truth to it. You can't win if you don't.
Try. Buy.
Play. Oh, thing. Play. Play. Play, Joe Holt. Top five jerseys sold in the NFL last week. Give me one. Top five jerseys.
Brady.
Number one. Tom Brady.
Is Gronk on there?
Of course he is. There's two. You want to keep going? I'll give you, don't, you know, dead air is not good air.
Manning?
I'm paying for this. No. Peyton, no.
Who?
Beckham, has anybody cashed in more on one fucking play in the history of pro sports?
Really? Odell Beckham?
Is three.
At first when you said that, I was going to be like, what Beckham? But I figured it out.
David. Dez Bryant is number two. Isn't that some shit? It's just the power of the fuck. As much as I hate to say it, and my boy Brian Ingles comes on here all the time, and just the Cowboys, people buy into that fucking bullshit that they are America's team.
Jay Jones, man.
And you know who number five is? I thought this was, which is, was interesting.
So Gronk is four then?
It goes Brady one, Dez Bryant two, Odell Beckham three, Gronk four, five, Jared Hayne. You even know who that is?
No.
You look at me. I'm looking. It's all, you know.
I know.
And it's a normal, you know, dead eye look that you give me. Jared Hayne. Yeah, he's that rugby player, punt returner for the 49ers. No.
That's stupid.
Yeah, right. That dumb. He's a fucking but 80% of the sales in Australia, so that doesn't really count, does it? But he's in the fifth top selling jersey in football.
That's probably the most international sales of anything the NFL's gotten in their history, to be honest with you.
Is that jersey?
Yeah,
probably. It's not like they have Yao Ming's running around. That's what they got to do. They got to find one of these teams, got to find a way, even though they collectively got to go out and find an Asian guy and make him a punt returner. You know what I mean? Or a kicker. I love the kicker for Notre Dame. You know, you would think kicking would be right up the alley of an Asian person, you know, disciplined.
No. Are we really doing that right now?
What? That's not racial. Well, it's racial. It's not racist, but it's yeah. No. Seriously, disciplined. You know, put in the time for it. Someone, you know, that's why Tiger Woods is good. He's half Asian, half black. He's got that black athleticism and the discipline of an Asian. It's true. I mean, if this is a real radio show, I'd probably be fired for it. You know what I mean? But that's true. You know, Asians get into things and their parents make sure that they do them well. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think that's a racial comment. I think that's a observation. But you get a fuck, go out and get the best Chinese kicker you ever had, ever, you know, boom, boom. Field goal kicker or a punter is an Asian. And now you sell millions of jerseys.
Do you think that,
in China?
I mean,
billions in China.
I don't know. Like, I think.
What do you know?
I think it's going to take more of a concerted effort than that. And I think people in other countries just like soccer. And that's cool. Like,
oh, bullshit. They're forcing these games in England on us. Next week is what? The Dolphins and the Jets?
Yeah, but I think the people in England would just assume not do it either. Like, just as much. It's like the general American football fan would be like, we'd rather not.
You don't think so? That Wembley Stadium gets sold out every time they do it. I think that gets bigger and bigger every time they do it. We're not talking about France here. We're talking about England.
I think like a third of the people are American people that just want to come to England and kick it.
Oh, you think it's like a vacation destination?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I guess you're good for something. Thanks. Okay, did you see Warren? You know who Warren Buffett is?
Yeah.
He was on the sideline in the Bill at the Dolphins game in an Indomitian Sioux jersey, fine, but with shoulder pads on. The fuck? The dude's 80 years old and he's rocking shoulder pads on the sideline?
Dude, rat.
That's kind of weird, though, don't you think?
Yeah.
Don't you think it's just a little odd?
Yeah,
it's like kind of kinky in a way. You know what I mean?
I don't know about that.
Was he wearing a jock strap, too? I mean, he's like, ugh, what are you doing? Why are you wearing shoulder pads?
That's kind of weird shit, but I mean, Warren Buffett's probably one of the most successful men in the history of the world. So, like, if Warren Buffett wants to rock some shoulder pads on Sunday, like, who am I to tell him what to do? I see all these other idiots wearing, like, jerseys and face paint and running around like fools and getting drunk to where they can't walk. Like, why would I dog on Warren Buffett for putting on some shoulder pads?
Because you think he would know better. And then the point, you said he was one of the most successful people, one of the smartest guys going.
Maybe he just wants to kick it.
You think he'd kick it with shoulder pads on?
Maybe he wants to party, dude. How am I supposed to tell you how that guy should get down?
Have you put shoulder pads on?
When I was a little kid, I used to play knee football with my dad and my older brother. And I had like a mini Raiders helmet and shoulder pads.
Kid, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to bring some shoulder pads and a helmet. And we're going to film you. We're going to roll you down this fucking hallway. We're going to smash you into the wall with your fucking shoulder pads and helmet on. See, you can get the real NFL experience.
I don't know if I want that.
Why would you want that?
Yeah,
Why wouldn't you want that? What do you want? Get off this show as fast as you can. Get the fuck out of here.
I was going to say I wanted the Giants to sweep the Dodgers, but that ain't going to happen. We're not talking about
it. Why? Is baseball still going on regular season? You got one more
week. It ain't happening. Don't talk to me about the Giants. It ain't happening.
No, you're the one talking to me about
the Giants. What about the Celtics? We got 4 minutes. Talk to me about the Celtics.
I'm very excited about the Celtics season. I think they're going to have potential to win 50 games. I think they're talented 1 through 15. I think they got a lot of great players. And one of the things Danny Ainge has done is in his Austin Ainge's kid, one of the scouting things they've done, I think it's a really good.
Austin Ainge scouting for the Celtics?
Yeah, he's like the vice president of fucking.
That's amazing. That's cool. Did not know that. That's awesome.
I'm sure there's a lot of things you don't know.
I'm sure there is.
They focused on guys that were like elite prep school kids, like the number one recruits coming out of high school, you know, and I think there's merit to that. And Marcus Smart was like one of the number one prep school kids.
Yeah.
Jared Sellinger was one of them. Yeah. Avery Bradley, I think, was the number one. Evan Turner was one of those as well. Yeah. Tyler Zeller. They have like
really high character guys. David Lee is a really high character guy, like older guy. Not recruited in the same, you know, manifest as those others you mentioned, but a really, really high character guy. After the Golden State Warriors won the NBA Finals, after he basically sat the whole time, gave up his starting position, so on and so forth, actually took the whole team to Las Vegas, bought him Rolex, his whole nine yards. He brought in good dudes, and Brad Stevens is really well known for coaching good dudes and getting the most out of those players and making sure you build your team with guys that listen and will be a part of the system.
And they have something like 13, I forget, 12 or 13 McDonald's high school Americans, which is kind of impressive if you think about it. I mean, all those, Jared Sellinger, Evan Turner, Avery Bradley, Perry Jones, Marcus Smart, they were all like McDonald's high school Americans.
Gnarly statistics.
Tons of talent on that team. We're not. This is not a basketball show. You can do this.
We talked about the Celtics. What do you want to end the show on?
I don't know what I want to end the show on. No, Joe.
What the hell?
I don't know. Right. I'm just losing my mind. Lapse of reason. However, getting back to that LA Raiders stadium, the NFL Players Association is going to put up $400 million to build the stadium in Carson. Isn't that something? The Players Association is going to do that. First of all, how does the Players
Association... Not the league, the Players Association.
The Players Association, the union.
Wow.
And yeah, it blew my mind. And the thought process behind it was they're going to bring in tons more money so the collective pot goes in. That's the thing about the NFL. It's loved by so many conservative people. It's got that real conservative ethos to it. That, you know, football, but it's such a communist fucking organization. You know, all these billionaire owners, it's a conglomerate. It's a cartel, the NFL cartel. But basically what the NFL Players Association is saying, with all the money they're going to get out of L.A., the salary cap's going to go up. You know what I'm saying? Because the collective
bargaining. That's probably true.
It is true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's the way they look at it as an association is an investment. It's a $400 million investment that the cap's going to go up and everybody's going to make more money. Communist fucking pigs running this thing, man. I'm telling you. False flag report.
I mean, we only have a minute, but, is that really, I don't know. Isn't that what you want to do? Put a bunch of money into your new product so it does well?
Right, you know, but these
seems logical.
Right, but get back to what we were piggying back on earlier about the owners. I mean, these guys are billionaires. The fucking Davis family, Al Davis family, is worth like $2 billion. The Spanos family that owns the Chargers is worth like $1.5 billion, okay? So, you know, people like to say, luck means preparedness with opportunity and whatever. Bullshit. Those owners of those teams, with the exception of Al Davis, is why I respect them. A lot of them fell into that shit, especially the AFL owners. They were like, oh, okay, I'll invest $35,000. All right. That's it. Worked myself up in a sweat and passed my bedtime. Joe Holt, thank you. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Rest in peace, Yogi Berra. Mm-hmm. Check us out at superiorfandom.com. Dave, thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can fit me in your busy schedule.
I'll be here next week anytime you want.
I won't be here next week. You can be here in the fucking... We're going to get those shoulder pads and helmet. We're going to smash you in the fucking wall. That's
I don't know about all that.
That's the next program. Well, later.